The book of Isaiah. This is our 19th study. In Isaiah, we come today to chapter 31. And we will look at chapters 31 and 32. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And in chapter 31, God will try to teach his people that Egypt's help is no help at all, and that the Lord himself will defend his people. But first he rebukes them in verse 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." And it is very easy to trust in people who God sends our way to bless us, rather than trusting in the God who sends them. It's easy to do that, but it is wrong. Verse 2, "Yet he also is wise and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity." God says, if you think that you are so smart to look to people instead of me, well, then I will make sure that you learn the hard way that you are wrong, and that's not smart. Verse 3, "Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they all shall fall together." God says the Egyptians are only people. Why would you settle for trusting in people when you can trust in an all-powerful God? 4, "For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, as the lion or the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof." And so God is saying that, you know, a hungry lion will not leave an animal it has just killed without eating it. No one will chase that lion away until he has had supper. And God says no one can stop me from doing what I propose to do either. Verse 5, "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it." God says, like a bird hovers over its nest to protect its young, so I will protect my people. Verse 6, "Turn unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. In other words, return to your God, whom you have offended with your sin. 7, "For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin." Any God that has to be made by a human is less than human, and can't possibly get a human out of a jam that he can't get himself out of. Anybody can see that a man-made God is no God at all. Verse 8, "Then shall the Assyrian fall by the sword, not of man, and the sword not of men shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be made vassals." And this actually happened. God killed thousands of Assyrian soldiers who were a threat to his people, and God didn't need any human being to help him do it either. He just did it. 9, "And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. God says he will act like a raging fire in Jerusalem, which is going to scare the Assyrians away. God doesn't need any help to protect his people or to provide for his people. That's why it is pointless to trust in anyone or anything other than God. Next verse. Chapter 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in justice. And this new king, who will be better than any human leader, points to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it says in verse 2, and a man should be like an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, like rivers of water in a dry place, like a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And so Jesus is in view here again. He is the man, and Jesus is like a shelter during a bad storm for those who know him. 3. And the eyes of those who see shall not be dim, and the ears of those who hear shall hearken. You know, Satan is bound in this church age, and that's what this is talking about. He cannot hide the truth from a soul who wants truth. Jesus won't let that happen. You want truth, God will get you the truth. 4. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Spending time with Jesus will turn a rash person into one who thinks clearly before they act. Verse 5. The vile person shall be no more called noble, nor the churl said to be bountiful. The world's thinking is often twisted, calling bad good and good bad today. But when Jesus returns, it's going to be straightened out. People will know that a foolish person, that is, one who doesn't respect God, doesn't deserve anyone's attention, and doesn't deserve anyone's applause. 6. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And that's what happens too. A foolish person speaks and acts foolishly, and they offend God by the things that they do, and they are no help to people either, because they are out of touch with God. 7. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. In other words, a fool, that is, someone who offends God and doesn't care, will not do anyone any good in the long run. They may promise big things, and they may try, but if they're out of touch with God, they're not going to do anybody any good in the long run. Verse 8, but the noble deviseth noble things, and by noble things shall he stand. You can tell if a person is noble or generous, not by what they say, and not by what they say should be done, but by what they themselves do. Verse 9, rise up, ye women who are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. God says, you women in Judah, you who feel so secure and comfortable, God says, you better listen to me. Verse 10, many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. And God is saying, in less than a year, your feelings of security will be replaced with feelings of fear and terror. God's punishment rolls into town slowly, but it does come. Verse 11, tremble, ye women who are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. God says you might as well make yourself uncomfortable, because you're going to have to get used to it. Verse 12, they shall smite upon the breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. And you can start by crying about the fields, which no longer grow produce, God is saying. Verse 13, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Homes will no longer be happy places once God's judgment hits. 14, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. And God says the people are going to move out of the city, and the wild animals will move in. This is God's judgment. 15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. It's going to be bad till God graciously makes it good again. 16. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. When God is in control, people are fair. Fair with each other, and they treat each other right when God is in control. 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. When people behave, there is peace. When people love God, there is peace. When people live for the Lord, the National Guard doesn't have to protect the city from looters after a tornado goes through, because you got neighbors helping neighbors and not trying to rip each other off. That is what happens when a nation has turned to God. Verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When people are right with God, people do not have to lock themselves in their homes for fear. You know, I can remember growing up in the 60s, and nobody in our neighborhood, and we did not live in a fancy neighborhood by any means. It was a lower middle-class neighborhood, and, you know, people didn't lock their doors. They certainly never thought of getting security systems for their home. Didn't have to, because there was still a pretty solid Judeo-Christian ethic. Verse 19 says, when it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low, in a low place. And, you know, even good people can experience natural disasters. However, because they are close to God, they're going to have peace in the midst of it all. That's the difference. 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth there the feet of the ox and the ass. You know, people talk about oil being so essential, and it is if you're talking about sustaining the lifestyle that we are used to. But if we lose it all, if we lose it all, we can still survive with food and water. And Scripture teaches that those basic things are the real essentials. A cell phone, a computer, you know, they may be nice, and they may have their good purposes, but they're not essentials. Not really. Not when it comes down to it. When it comes right down to it, it's food and water and shelter. And we'll pick it up in chapter 33 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.